But let's get into this with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us here on WEEI. He's brought to you by Drains by James. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tommy Curran, busy day yesterday. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing excellent. Mego and I love the pick. Arcan so-so about it. How much do you think we actually see Drake May this year? Is he going to play a meaningful amount for the Patriots?
That's like asking how long it's going to take to get somewhere on a three-hour trip, not knowing what the traffic is. You just don't know. I mean, you don't know until you can see how he responds, how he plays, how the team plays around him, how the offense is progressing as a whole before he gets dropped in there. So, I mean, that's impossible to say.
But you think they're gonna give him a chance? You think they're gonna give him a chance to play, though, right? It's not just Jacoby Brissett and he's gonna sit all year.
I would imagine he'll see the field, but I mean, it's April 26th, so they're sending every intimation out there. I mean, first Jerod Mayo said we'll let him compete in camp, and then the best player will play, and then within 2 minutes he was putting that toothpaste back in the tube by saying he's not the starter, he needs a lot of time. So certainly the party line that they are going to push forward is it's going to take a lot of time. So I think we can I think we can table that for a while.
Tom, I want to jump a little bit over to a news item that you dropped on Burt Breer last night and wrote about, which is...
It was Burt approved.
Yes, he said it was very interesting, and I agree, about the Patriots reaching out to the 49ers regarding Brandon Ayuk. Now there's some smoke around Debo Samuel. How high is it of a priority for the Patriots right now with everything going on to look at the trade market and try to grab one of these receivers, not necessarily those two, but be in the trade market for one of these high production veteran receivers and bring in?
Definitely a high priority. I think I told you guys that a couple weeks ago when we talked about post Calvin Ridley. When they swung and missed on Calvin Ridley, they have $25 million allocated to an ex-wide receiver that they could still spend and would like to spend. They are by far the most under the cap of any team in the NFL right now. They're not to the cap floor of 200, so they have to spend the money. And they understand that, again, you have a rookie quarterback on what is the biggest cheat code financially in the NFL, a guy who's going to be under your control for ostensibly 5 years. So you need to spend the money somewhere. You do it the way teams in the NFL now do it, and that's a wide receiver. So they're extremely active. They tried to get Calvin Ridley, failed. They've kicked the tires on the opportunity to get A.J. Brown, and they have been in conversations with the 49ers about how they can extract someone there. So they understand, despite the fact Elliott Wolf sat there last week and said they're just drafting for depth, light has dawned on Marblehead, and they are absolutely trying to get another wide receiver in there.
Yes!
What's your understanding of those conversations with San Francisco?
Just ongoing. I don't know how they're going. I don't know, but I think we would have clarity.
On both?
Pardon me?
On Debo, on Ayuk, on both?
When I talked to someone who was specifically on Ayuk, but as you've seen, there's been reporting on Debo as well.
Tom, I think you were with me on Team Trade Back. There was reports now that the Raiders and the Vikings were making offers to the Patriots. I think Wolf even mentioned some of the offers that came in. Do you have any more info on what some of those offers may have had? Were any players involved? And what would it have taken to move the Patriots off of that pick?
It would have taken 3 first-round picks and most likely a player. So that didn't happen, so we can at least ascertain that that wasn't brought up. So I don't know concrete what the offers were. I don't know if we ever will know what the offers were. For Minnesota, they actually kind of win. You know, they don't have to move any resources, and they get a really good quarterback who will fit their system really well and just be plug and play. So to them, they actually win on that situation, in my estimation. But I don't know what they exactly were, Kristen. Sorry.
Tom, aside from perhaps getting a wide receiver somewhere in the trade market, how else do you support Drake May? It seems like, okay, we all have our feelings about who he was in college and who he may be, but we're not even into OTAs yet. So is it about the offensive line? What is the next most important piece to get in the draft right now?
I think, honestly, Mego, it's less about the players for right now around him and more about fixing him. He's the least ready of the 4 main guys, and I'll even throw Penix in there, 5 main guys. He is the guy that most people said is boom or bust. He is the guy who needs the most work with his accuracy and his footwork. He's the bounciest in terms of moving around and not having his feet set and decision-making. So So before you worry about making sure KJ Osborne isn't your best player or DeMario Douglas in wideout, you got to fix all that stuff. To me, there will be guys who kind of shake loose from the wide receiver tree over the next however many months. We see it often. We saw it with DeAndre Hopkins last year. So over the course of the next few months, guys will shake loose if they swing and miss on Ayuk or Samuel or T. Higgins, which I haven't heard any direct intel on. But to me, you really have to – the first things first with him is don't worry about who he's throwing to. Worry about how well he throws it.
Okay, I heard your discussion, and it was excellent. It's worth checking out at NBC Sports Boston. Your sit-down with Brian Hoyer, you and Phil. And Brian Hoyer said he thought the footwork was the easiest thing to fix. So how big of a challenge is that going to be for them?
It shouldn't be. Going off the expert, I would say it shouldn't be that complicated. But I wonder, too, how much of his footwork is linked to his brain. And how much, you know, as Belichick said, and I thought Belichick was excellent on pointing out the flaws that May has while still having him fifth overall on his draft board. I mean, I don't blame him for setting a high bar for a guy who's fifth overall. Belichick, I'm talking about, and saying he has to fix this, this, and this. What I think would be more alarming than the footwork, or at least, I don't know, concerning, might overstate it too, a bigger priority is, okay, when do you have to scramble? When should you stay in the pocket and let it play out? When do you need to let it rip? One thing that I had said about his running when I looked at it was he was very decisive. To hear somebody with, you know, the Yoda level of knowledge that Belichick brings to it, or maybe he's too decisive and saying, okay, I'm out of here. So I think that's a big thing that you have to link to his footwork. Just get your feet quiet and let your brain do the work instead of letting your eyes do it and say, oh, I'm out of here.
Tom, you obviously covered the team 3 years ago and they drafted Mac Jones from a reaction perspective, from a player perspective. What were the biggest differences you saw between when they called Drake May's name and when they called Mac Jones' name?
I think, you know, they both have a little goofiness to them. I don't know what it is about Mac's goofiness. Mego, you probably have a good sense for this.
I think
Drake May.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
Mac's goofiness is more part of the group trying to crack people up. I think Drake May's goofiness is just, hey, I'm goofy, kind of in a Brady way. Mac's was kind of felt like a fitting in way. You know, I don't think the number of times people say that the Patriots players hated Mac Jones, it always makes my shoulders go up because they didn't. They didn't like the way he played quarterback. They didn't like that he would bitch on the field, but nobody disliked the kid in the locker room. He fit in perfectly. It's just that, hey, everybody get behind me. I'm going to bring you someplace type of swagger. I don't think that Mac had. I think Drake May might.
How do you think Bill would have handled the third pick last night? Let's say the Patriots are on the clock there. Is he taking calls? Is he moving back? Is he taking an offensive lineman like Jim Harbaugh? Like what would Bill have done at three?
I think he's loading up if he has a chance to take somebody and then try and play the game and get McCarthy. I mean, I know he's got May 5th, but if he's looking at Drake May and saying, I can't even use this kid until halfway through the season, maybe the back end of the season, I need to win now. We just went 4-13 last year. I'm going to get some resources here, and I'm going to trade back. But it is telling that he had him 5th on the board.
Yeah.
And to hear him as effusive as he was, like, who do you think among the 5 guys, and we can take Penix out of it, among the 4, I think May will be the only one who we can't say will definitely be on the bench at Halloween.
We're kind of general here, Tom. I want to ask, like, a specific scheme X's and O's question with Drake May. Since it was in Detroit, if he was a, what's it called? Motown song.
Ah.
What song would Drake May be?
Just my imagination.
Good one.
You know.
I don't know. Mego's making a face. I don't know what the fit was. Is that a good analogy
you
in
know
your
what
estimation?
That song's about, Tom?
No.
It's about
what?
It's about lusting after someone walking away.
So like every Motown song's about.
Well, he could have gone with, like, Tears of a Clown, Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Mm.
Sorry, yeah, put you on the spot
just
there.
Just your imagination that he's got this much upside to an extent. I mean, you're wishing. People are wishing. Of all the quarterbacks, there's more wishing involved with Drake May than anybody. And I think that the Patriots had to take him because he was the safest pick. Even though he has the most downside, the lowest floor at the moment, they had to take him because other teams coveted him. So they had to say, well, if we don't take him, that is basically an admission that we aren't ready. We don't have enough good players. Our roster is crap. And I, Elliot Wolf, well, I was part of that situation. We can blame Bill all we want, but if we don't take Drake May, that means we don't believe in our coaching staff to get him ready and up to speed, and we have to take somebody safe, or we have to trade out of it. So, to me, they're really hoping that as a group, they are going to grow together. And if, as a group, this one player doesn't grow, then they're going to be right back where they were by 2028, which is jaw-dropping.
I would have gone with my guy.
Tom, real quick, before we let you go, you mentioned Elliot Wolf. There's still six rounds of picks that he needs to make here. Do you think that in terms of his future, now that the big pick's out of the way, that there's any sort of hindrance that'll be there from him continuing his role in the future?
I don't think so. I mean, honestly, it's just so weird to look at a guy who is the de facto GM who you're going to have, even if it's sham interviews, to go through the exercise of. To have this guy standing there being the one who holds for Elliot, he's going to tell you you're a Patriot. I can't imagine that he is, that his job is in any kind of jeopardy. So it's a weird dynamic that's going on there. To me, I'm really curious what happens at 34 here, since that's what's looming in a few hours, is everybody got driven down the board on the defensive side of the ball because of all the wide receivers and tackles and quarterbacks. The Patriots definitely need a corner. They definitely need a corner on the other side from Christian Gonzalez. You can still go out. I believe Stephon Gilmore is still on the market, but you can definitely go out right now and get, you know, Kool-Aid McKinstry, for lack of a better guy. First guy to pop into mind. But these are Cooper Dejean, another one, who was, you know, the 19th rated player from some from ESPN, and he's still on the board. So do you want to take a corner and make your defense that much better if you're looking at your board, or do you say, no, we're going to draft for need and go with
need
the eighth as receiver?
Need would be my vote, but we'll see what they do tonight at pick 34. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Right, thank you, Tom.
As all our guests joins us here, yes, on Jones.
So this is,
and Mega on
WEEI. This is a great song. But it's actually about, I don't know if Smokey Robinson wrote it. Whoever wrote it was watching.
I can't believe you know this much about the Spinners.
The other producer's wife was walking out of the building, and he was writing about how he thought this man's wife was flirting with him.
Yep.
But he's like, it must have been just my imagination.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he wasn't like thinking about her in his imagination, and well, then. That's a little bit of that,
maybe. That's what this, I mean, hey, interpret it as you will, but that's what the song's about.
I can tell you. The second thing is what I was doing when the Patriots took Drake May last night, but Curran
hates
the pick.
You guys never asked me about this stuff. Like, I am just a well of knowledge over here.
Apparently. Curran hates the pick.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
He didn't say that.
He doesn't like the pick. He likes the pick.
This is a beautiful song.
Okay. Curran doesn't like the pick.
Just said all the upside is just our imagination, and he likes the pick. Come on.
I also don't like that I started by asking when he's going to play, and then at the end, he's like, oh, we can't answer that now. And then by the end of the interview, he's like, yeah, he's probably sitting on Halloween. Mm-hmm. I feel like I asked that at the start. We'll get to all your phone calls.
Got to warm up to that.
779. I was told we can't have the conversation. 617-779-7937. We'll get into all your feedback here coming up. And are we going to be able to understand Drake May? Let's dissect a few of these answers coming up next.